Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. That's H-I-V-E. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Iceland Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Happy Force Friday, everyone! We are so glad that you've chosen to spend your Force Friday with us, the Wretched Hive, for Friday, September 30th, 2016, episode 20 of the Wretched Hive. And boy, we got a big episode tonight. We've overcome our Skype problems, and we are fired up again to talk about all that is Star Wars. We've got another standalone film that was announced. We've got Rebels Season 3 premiere. Lots of stuff happening in the Star Wars universe, and so glad you've joined us to talk about it all. And joining me tonight, of course, is the rest of the Hive, and he is my Force Friday co-pilot and yours, world-renowned shopper, Greg Lent.
I've been scoping out the Amazon situation all day long. I will have live updates on the Twitter feed later on Friday, September the 30th, updating you, the fine listeners, with all of the Force Fridays deals you can possibly stand. And I hope that all of your Star Wars dreams do come true on the most holy of holy days, Force Friday 2 Electric Boogaloo.
What are you most excited? Are you excited about anything in particular? Are you looking at what are you going to run out to Target or Walmart tonight? What are you going to buy?
I think I will buy absolutely nothing.
Okay.
But I will be looking forward to watching all of the nerds out there losing their shit that they can't get the Black Series Jenners. So, sure.
I do not appreciate that, actually. Joining us also tonight, lifelong Star Wars fan Scotty Vansky.
Thank you, Steve. It's so good to be here tonight.
Yeah, who was that into the Audible intro? I can't believe, Greg, you let that one go by without a comment. My God.
I was able to sneak in a cigarette between the intro and our intro proper. I was able to sneak in a cigarette, so I got it out. I got it all out of my system after
that.
So.
Got it.
I'm a little flushed. I'm a little. Whew. Wow, what's going on there?
It's H-I-V-E.
That last E is a little breathy.
It is. That is the...
Over here was H-I-V-E. And then I was done.
We have a lot of voice talent on this show, and the Wretched Wives are really coming through for us lately.
No doubt about it.
Also on the show joining us, we're so happy to have him back, the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
You know, I am so glad to finally be here for the beginning of a show. It feels like it's been forever, but I am very happy to be here.
We're happy to have you, my friend. It's good to hear your voice. And we've got, of course, one additional Hyvian.
Your pistachioed face as well.
Aha. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Salvador Dali-esque, handsome hunk you. I started to introduce him. He is, of course, Dave! Do not under any circumstances ever call him Harry Potter.
I'm sorry. I was signing up for an Audible.com subscription, even though I already have one.
That one sold you, did it?
I was sold on that. Yeah, H-I-V-E. Shut up and take my money.
She's got a career there, Scott. You gotta encourage that wretched wife of yours to do some more voice work there.
We will get some more recordings for you.
Okay. She's rather skilled in the oral area, I guess.
I'm not gonna go down that path.
Wow.
I'm gonna
You're gonna have to see this woman sooner or later, Steve. You know that, right?
Well, you talked about touching my wife last a few episodes ago. I mean, you know, whatever. My God.
Yeah, all right. Next Saturday, my friend.
That's right. That's right.
Oh my goodness. All right,
well, we're already off to a good start. The Wretched Hive is here, and we are so thrilled that you have joined us, and we would love to hear more from you online. Join the conversation on facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. Also, you can leave us a voicemail, and please do. We love hearing from you. 562-455-4483. That's the Wretched Hive hotline. That's 562-455-HIVE. And we're going to get started tonight with another rousing edition of Star Wars Choices.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
Think of a hard choice you'll face in the near future.
You must choose.
Okay, would you rather be intimate with a Wookiee?
Choose wisely.
Or be intimate with Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but it's the modern day Carrie Fisher?
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
Star Wars Choices on the Wretched Hive. And Nico, I think this is your first opportunity to participate.
This is definitely my first.
Yeah, so Star Wars Choices, for those of you that may be new, this is a game where you are given a choice between, sort of like Would You Rather, you're given a choice between two Star Wars scenarios. You've got to choose one, and you're going to live with that choice forever.
And, all right, I got to finish this beer before we make any choices like right. I heard in that intro.
I was going to say, while he's finishing that beer, can I make the choice to remove that goddamn whatever that last choices song at the end of the thing? Can I make the decision to remove?
That's the best part. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's the best part of Star Wars Choices.
No, just that one song. Oh. I mean, just...
All right, well,
did Glenn Fry sing it and I just missed that? Why the heck?
Because whoever it is awful. Just awful.
Well, you know what it does? It reminds me of, what was that YouTube star? Chocolate Rain?
Chocolate Rain.
It totally reminds me of that for some reason. I don't know why.
That was Tay Zonde. It reminds me of some bad, I don't know, One Direction, you know, pop.
That's exactly what it is. It's like some English band, and it's this music video. I've never heard of them, never seen the video, but you know, doing some searches for songs that talk about choices, and I found that one. So there you go. Deal
well,
with it.
If you do remove it, I will seriously be disappointed because I want to bitch about that every 2 weeks from here on out. So.
No. I'm going. Are you kidding me? I'm gonna isolate that clip now and play it as much as I possibly can. All right, so Star Wars choices for Friday, September 30th. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Would you rather sit through a 2-hour standalone film, the topic or the star of the film, the thesis of the film, if you will, is Jar Jar Binks' origin story?
Son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
Or would you rather sit through a 2-hour documentary on sand narrated by 17-year-old Anakin Skywalker?
Holy shit.
Would you rather sit through a standalone film surrounding Jar Jar Binks' origin story or watch a 2-hour documentary on sand narrated by 17-year-old Anakin Skywalker?
I'm going to go ahead and go with the documentary on sand because at least I'll be able to fall asleep and then just nap through the entire thing. Wake me up when it's over.
All right, one vote for sand.
Scott Evans.
I'm going to vote for Sand.
Okay, one vote for Sand.
I vote for Sand as well, just because there will at least be some real emotion in that narration that I can look forward to.
All right, we got two votes for Sand. Scott, what say you?
I have to look back at my notes. What did I vote for with the first Jar Jar thing? Was it Jar Jar? If it is, then I have to go with Sand also, because you know what? I'm going to have to go out on a limb and just say, fuck Jar Jar, man. I'm
Oh, yeah. Crawl out on that big, sturdy limb that supports all of Star Wars fandom, Scott. Good job.
Well,
way to take a chance there.
the one good thing about that is that Scott is keeping mystery alive. We got to continue on because we don't have. There's still a possibility of the outcome is still in doubt at this point. So,
no. That's three votes for Sand, man. Three votes. There's only five of us.
Because fuck Jar Jar. Oh, that's right. I thought he was going with Jar Jar for a second, but no, that's right. Okay. So yeah. So that's so
you know.
So
as
our points are moot.
As has been said on this show many times. Math is hard. Math is hard.
And if ever anybody is going to be the one to screw up the math problem, it's always going to be me. So that's been established many times over. However, I must say I'm a little disappointed in these choices this week because they're both so awful. Last week, I think it was last or 2 weeks ago, you gave us the choices of the Boba Fett standalone movie versus the what was the other one that was out there? The Gennady Tartakovsky animated series. Both of those things are things I really want both of those, but I had to make a choice between one. Which one would I take but would have to live without the other one? I don't want either of these ones. I really don't want either of these ones. But could you imagine the hate and vitriol coming out of a Sand documentary by young Anakin Skywalker? That's exactly. Inconvenient Truth level of hate coming out of that one. Al Gore couldn't do a better job making that documentary about Sand. That would be fantastic. I would love to see that, actually. So I would also vote Sand in this case. Because it would be so hate-filled.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be almost incoherent. Just angst. Just teen angst.
He's going on Trumpian levels of just like just total word salads coming out of his mouth. And big league, hugely
sand. Sand. And it's just sandy and sand colored and
it gets everywhere. I hate it. It is so coarse. Oh,
I hate the sand. Where's my dad?
No, you don't understand. I really, really hate sand. It seriously gets everywhere. I'm not kidding. Everywhere. So coarse. I hate sand. Well, Sand wins, guys, because I vote for Sand.
Woo!
Sand wins. It's a sweep.
It is a sweep.
See what I did there? It's a sweep.
It's not a
landslide.
Not a clean sweep though, because it's sandy.
Sandy.
So an important lesson there. Jar Jar Binks really is just universally reviled. Universally.
We would rather watch a documentary about Sand than watch one about a mainstream Star Wars character. What we're saying.
Hey, I would like to know the differences between the sand on Jakku and the sand on Tatooine.
Man.
You know, maybe the sand on Jakku is really fine.
I'm sure Anakin would be happy to explain that to you in excruciating detail.
I wonder if he knows anything about the sand on Jakku.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, guys, I know we made some serious headlines there with the Star Wars Choices segment, but we've actually got some real news to cover. And leading off tonight was a big announcement in the Star Wars world. There's another standalone film coming, guys. Disney confirms Star Wars Anthology movie for 2020, Disney CEO Bob Iger reporting to shareholders that there will be a third film
in the series of standalone films that begins with Rogue One this December. And we're under, we're less than 80 days away from Rogue One, by the way.
Sweet.
Which is very, very cool.
76 days from Friday, September the 30th, if my math is correct.
Wow.
Which it never is.
Wow.
Well, it's established. It's,
we're getting close. We are getting close. And so this is TheGuardian.com reporting in remarks made to the Goldman Sachs Communacopia Conference and reported by Deadline. Iger said that a writer had been hired to work on the film, and but no other details. We don't have a topic, a thesis of the film. We don't have a director. There's a writer that's been hired, and that's about all we know. But Star Wars extending at least
Steve,
for the next 5 years.
Steve, let me interrupt you. We're going to do a little role play. Okay. I'm going to be the press. You will be Bob Iger. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Iger, that's great. There's going to be another Star Wars movie in 2020. Can you tell me the name?
Nope. Can't really talk about that. Sorry.
Alrighty. That's great. I hired a writer. Can you tell me the name of the writer?
Nope. Can't really talk about that. Sorry.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Can you tell me what it, at least what it's going to be about, what the subject of this movie is going to be, since we know there's the Han Solo movie, you've got the Rogue One. Can you tell me what this third one's going to be about?
Security, can you take the reporter out of the room, please? Just get him out. Yeah. No, him. No, the bald one. Yeah, him.
and scene.
And
perfect.
Scene.
That's such a great announcement right there. Just thanks for giving us absolutely nothing.
Go kiss my ass. Okay, next question.
I thought role playing with Greg would be a lot sexier than that. I'm not gonna lie.
I know, Greg. You were starting to go into that 1930s reporter, Shay. What do you got for us, Shay? You were going there, man. You were
I'm a fan of old timey radio serials. I love them.
Oh, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when we get to the Audible commercial halfway through the show, that's exactly what I picked out today. Interesting. But Greg and I rehearsed that all. Greg and I rehearsed that all day today. How'd we do? It's pretty good, right?
It seemed very spontaneous. I felt like I was in the moment with you guys. So good job.
Good, thank you.
All right. Wait. We have rehearsals? I didn't know that.
We do, but
Gosh,
we don't.
That's what you get for missing staff meetings.
We don't invite you.
That's smart.
We actually want to get work done.
So here is kind of the unfounded speculation of the night. My own personal theory on this is that they can't announce what the topic or character is for that third anthology film because it's linked somehow to something that's going to happen in a movie we haven't seen yet.
Uh-huh.
Meaning to me episode 8. So there's some character or event or something that gets alluded to in episode 8 that would be a spoiler at this point that is going to be expounded on in that movie. So I'm just going to throw out that maybe it's not Boba Fett. Maybe what it is a Yoda-themed movie. Because there's rumors floating around that Yoda is making an appearance on episode 8, that they've brought back the original puppeteer crew, so it's not going to be CGI Yoda.
Yeah.
So if they're doing something, some kind of flashback or something with that character, would we be getting an origin of Yoda story that had something to do with a Jedi temple and the lore and legend of the Jedi Knights, as opposed to our favorite pussy bounty hunter, Boba Fett?
Yeah, now, Dave, I love that article that you shared earlier today about the puppeteers and the Yoda puppet coming back to episode 8. That is so cool. I love that.
Internet is the place for completely unfounded rumors. I love it.
Now, are we down with a puppet-driven Yoda movie? Is that something that we all want to see?
Well, that's a great point. And I started thinking about it because Dave posted this article and I checked it out. What Yoda do you want to see? I mean, I know you mentioned the Jedi Temple and all that stuff, Dave, but do I want kooky, weird, crazy, isolated Yoda on Dagobah, or do I want early sitting in a chair, Yoda. I mean,
I want Yoda sitting around Dagobah just eating mushrooms and tripping balls for 2 hours. Is what I want.
Oh my God, that would be the best.
It would be like Brad Pitt's character in True Romance, you know, just sitting there sucking on the honey bear, smoking pot out of the honey bear for 2 hours. Motherfucker's not gonna disrespect me, man.
And tonight the part
stoned I am
Floyd.
Qui-Gon was right. Yes.
Acid flashback you seek.
For me, I don't know that I care to. Well, you know, I'll go see it, whatever it is. But I don't know if high on my list of priorities would be the next Yoda movie. Put out a book, that's fine. I think there's other things I'd rather see that I would be more excited about.
Well, I'm down for the Obi-Wan movie. I want to see an Obi-Wan standalone movie, covering the time that he's on Tatooine. You know, waiting for the events of Episode 4. I'm sure he, you know, we've talked about this before. There's a lot that they could do with that. So I think that would be cool.
I am dead serious when I say that. I think that would work as a Clint Eastwood, you know, spaghetti western-esque type movie. I think it would work perfectly in that vein. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm with you. Be awesome.
Yeah, if I had a choice of movies, I would choose Obi-Wan over the Boba Fett movie also. That's I think that would just be fantastic. Especially if they could somehow convince Ewan McGregor to come back and do it again.
Yeah. I don't think it would take much convincing for him, really. We've talked about this though before.
Yeah, we talked about he's acknowledged without acknowledging it that there's been some discussions and that he would love to do it.
and then there was the flip side. Like a month later, he's like, "All right, stop asking me about it. Go away."
That's right. You're so hot and cold, Ewan. Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's exciting stuff anyway. We know Star Wars is going to be around for a while, guys, which means we're going to have to be doing this for at least another 5 years. I thought it was going to be four, but, you know, whatever.
That's the thing is with this announcement, that means there's a Star Wars movie every year until 2020 now.
And the other part of the announcement was that he said, you know, we started talking about what we're going to do 2021 and beyond.
Hmm. Yeah.
He talked about, if I remember the announcement correctly, the parallel tracks that they're doing with the Lucasfilm projects and the Marvel projects, how Marvel has its slate of films all out there until 2019. They know what's going to be coming out. And they're already doing the discussions on Phase 4 for Marvel, which would presumably be, you know, 2020 through, I think, 2022.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They plan those things out so much on Marvel, because Marvel does 3 films a year now instead of Lucasfilm's 1. But Stan Lee does a cameo in every Marvel movie, and they literally, because the dude is 93 now, they stacked his cameo for the next 4 movies, and they filmed all 4 of them in a single day. So they can drop him into Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and whatever the next 2 are after that. Thor and I forget the other one. Guardians of the Galaxy, that's it.
Wow. That's awesome.
He is really, really old. I saw him at Comic-Con, I think, 5 years ago, and he was so old then. And I can't imagine how old he must be now.
Dude, I saw him 20 years ago. 1996 was my first Comic-Con, and he was old then. And that was after he did the cameo sequences in Mallrats, which was great. If you could get up close to talk to him, you could talk to him about... Was it the thing? So, Fred's really hung up on superhero junk. What's up with that? Some of the best Stan Lee dialogue ever. Oh, man.
Well, Star Wars is going to be around for a while, guys. And it's not only on the big screen, it's also thriving on the small screen. And in fact, last week we had the season premiere of Star Wars Rebels Season 3,
show is going strong, and has quite a nice little following, and a couple of us got to watch it. Greg, what was your impression of the season premiere and the entrance of Grand Admiral Thrawn into Star Wars broadcast television?
Well, I enjoyed it. It was good. You know, I powered through season one a while ago, and then I was excited about the storyline for once they announced that Thrawn was coming into season three, and so I blew through season two and enjoyed it. I thought it was good. You know, the show is on Disney XD, so Let's set that expectation there. It's a show designed for kids, you know, and that's fine. It's enjoyable for what it is. And so as we come into season three, there's the Kanan, who's the older mentor. He's kind of recovering from the injury suffered at the end of last season, without getting into too much spoiler detail there. And Ezra, the main hero of the show, has been given a little bit more responsibility and of course, blows it immediately because this show has to show some growth of character here. And it was a nice little self-contained episode. I think with the greater goal of the episode of setting up Thrawn, who seemed like an interesting character. They set him up as the brilliant military mind, and they're playing the long game with Thrawn. Whereas last year with Maul and with Vader, they kind of popped in and out of the series. I think we'll see a more consistent appearances from Thrawn in the coming weeks of season three. So I'm looking forward to it. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it. Go out and watch it. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed the episode. It definitely feels like Star Wars, although it has that kid element. It's an animated show. They can do a lot with animated characters. There's a lot of flipping and jumping around that you wouldn't be able to do on the big screen with real action characters, live characters. So there is that cartoonish element to it at times, although I think the writing on the show is really good, and so it kind of, to me, it offsets the sort of cartoonish nature of the show. In terms of Thrawn, I really like how they wrote him. I thought the dialogue they gave him sounded like I picture him sounding in my mind's eye when I think of those early novels, where Thrawn was just a stud and outsmarts everybody. The writers on the show, and in particular Dave Filoni, the executive producer, is a huge fan of those books and the Timothy Thawne books, and so I thought they did a really nice job with it, and I'm looking forward to watching the rest of the season. I think it was a lot of fun. I think it's interesting that they have Ezra, the young Jedi, to be in training, sort of constantly wavering towards the dark side and learning those lessons, and they have to sort of set him up to fail so that you can have some plot points that are interesting. But I agree, it's an interesting show, and it's well done. It's worth a viewing for 22 minutes a week, new Star Wars every week. Not a bad deal.
Yeah, that's my feeling too. It's not long enough to where it feels like it's getting too heavy or anything. It's very light. It's very, it's popcorn. So you can always sit down for 22 minutes to have popcorn, and that's what that is. So
exactly. Well, we have some other releases, not video, TV, or movies, but there was a big book release actually this week, Tuesday of this week. Exciting release of this book, The Complete Works of Ralph McQuarrie, Volume 1 and 2. And this, I want to say, I saw either a prototype or heard about this over a year ago at Star Wars Celebration. And it was just released to the public this week. And man, the art looks amazing. Of course, we've talked about a few times on the show how really, Ralph McQuarrie, in many ways, is the father of the look of Star Wars, and really invented it from scratch. Came up with the look at George Lucas's direction. And this book looks incredible. And I understand that, Dave, you already have the book in your possession. And so,
I pre-ordered it.
Pre-ordered it. And so wondering if you have had a chance to look and if you want to tell us about it.
It has only been unboxed at this point because I think, as people know, I'm not pulling the curtain back here too far. We record the show a couple days in advance of the Friday release of the show. And I did not want to just kind of breeze through this thing quickly. I want to actually be able to sit and appreciate it when I have some time. So All I have done is unbox it, and it is this glorious 18 by 20, I think, inch slipcase with two books in it. It weighs 22 pounds, and it's got, as you said, every bit of Ralph McQuarrie art. It's got a lot of unreleased stuff previously because McQuarrie did Christmas cards and a lot of things like that for Lucasfilm over the years. It's got photographic reproductions of all of that, essays. It is just it's something I've been looking forward to getting for a year now, because I saw it come up on Amazon when I was looking for books in advance of The Force Awakens opening up, and I thought it was originally going to come out before The Force Awakens, and then it got bumped to September 27th. But my early review, having not read it at all, is two thumbs way, way up, because that's how damn brilliant it looks.
Yeah. Well,
I have to say, Christine actually agrees with me, because she has given it a prominent place of honor in our home, in the living room. It's not even on the coffee table. It's facing out on a bookshelf like a piece of art.
Yeah, I was very close to commenting on her Facebook post about how it doesn't fit on your coffee table, and I was going to suggest that you can fit it on my coffee table. It's fine. Bring it over. I'll make room. I'll make room for it. But I'm looking at these photos on io9, io9.gizmodo.com, and they are just, you know, amazing. Some of the stuff I've seen, it's been out there. The Christmas card is one in particular that's great. Actually, it's the Lucasfilm moving card when they've got the all the Star Wars characters marching down with a sign that says Lancashire Boulevard, and you know that they are moving to Hollywood. The matte painting of Tatooine, which serves as the opening shot of Episode 4, is in there. There's just so many great pieces here that it looks like a really impressive work.
And getting that is also kind of fulfilling a small missing piece of my childhood. One of the things that I was given as a present when I was a kid was not a poster book collection, but a portfolio collection of these prints of Ralph McQuarrie concept art for The Empire Strikes Back. And I think there were about 15 of them. And for whatever reason, when my family moved from South Dakota to California, that was an item that did not make the cut for me to take with me. Always regretted it, but now I know I've got that art back. It's in those books.
Oh, man. So what happened? What happened to it? Just stayed...
We had the world's biggest garage sale for a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I will never in my life have another garage sale again. That thing scarred me emotionally. But that was one of the items that got taken downstairs, and literally the entire downstairs of our house got turned into a bazaar of things for sale.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's
made a lot of money.
Those prints are hanging in somebody's office right now, hopefully.
I hope so. I hope whoever got that really loved it, because it was, I mean, they were gorgeous, and I had taken good care of them over the years. They were absolutely flat and still shiny and pristine.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm curious. I'm going to touch on a couple things you just mentioned, the conversation you're having with Steve, but also the book that you're mentioning, is it a continuation of the original Art of Star Wars books? Is that what you're talking about, the Empire Strikes Back book, or was it something different where it actually had prints?
No, the one I'm talking about that I had, it wasn't an actual book. It was a collection of prints, and I want to say they were about maybe 30 inches by 18 inches, and they were all individual prints. They were just in a cardboard case that you had to kind of fold up around them. But there wasn't a book. I could have literally just taken them out and pinned them all up on the wall if I wanted to.
Okay. Yeah, I had all the original Art of Star Wars books, and collected quite a bit of Ralph McQuarrie's artwork from the original trilogy. But I know it included everyone else, like Joe Johnston and a few other people. So I'm just curious, are you familiar with those books? And
I've seen them. I've not actually owned them, but it, as far as I know, it had no affiliation with those books.
Okay. Yeah, my question is, and I'll probably have to pick this up myself because I'm a huge fan of McQuarrie, but I'm just curious how much more material it shows from him, how much was not shown in those original art of Star Wars, The Empire, and Return of the Jedi. So I'm very interested in checking this book out.
Yeah, and save your money. This is an investment. Right, I mean, Dave, you plopped down a couple of $100 for this thing.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to get it on sale, but it was not awesome. It was not cheap. Some people might judge me.
Oh my!
And I just I've just done a little searching on eBay, and I have found that portfolio that I had. It's selling for $90 on eBay right now.
Oh my!
Okay. Wow. Yeah, this says. At IO9, available now for $250.
Yeah, I got it for less than that, but it was still a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's on Amazon for like $180.
Okay,
$250 is the retail price.
Yeah.
Yes, $250 is printed on the back of it.
Well, I mean, still $180 is, you know, that's an investment.
It's not cheap.
No,
it's not cheap.
I'm not saying it's not worth it. I'm just saying, you know, save your money.
Worth every penny.
That's right.
It looks gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, McQuarrie's a genius, you know, and this is all stuff that you can just sit there and salivate over and just, you know, the early pictures of C-3PO that are looking like the old, you know, robot from Metropolis, the early Darth Vader designs where he's got the really kind of elongated nose piece in the helmet.
The samurai look that
so much that's just like, oh, it looks so cool. You know, there's the old shots of Luke and Vader fighting where Luke is wearing like what looks like a breathing apparatus, you know, very famous shot that McQuarrie did. The early shots of Mustafar or something that's on IO9 that got us every, you know, at least me and my friends thinking about, well, what's this lava planet? You know, what happened there and everything. That was all seen much later in the prequel trilogy.
Was that the famous
so much?
Shot? Was that the famous cave shot where you see the Emperor like in a cave? It's like a lava cave, and Vader is walking up to him. That was going to be the original throne room for the Emperor.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
That set off so many of my neighborhood friends plus myself imaginations. Like, oh my God, there's a lava planet. And this is where all the shit goes down. And
And
it took us from, what was that, 1983? 82, 83, right when...
I was going to say earlier than that, probably.
Well, yeah, when the concept art came out. But 83 was when Return of the Jedi came out. And I remember those pictures of that would show up in little, like, production books you could buy on the shelves at bookstores and whatnot. And I just, that set me off. I'm like, McQuarrie really put it out there and got it in everyone's minds what this universe looks like. He was a genius. He was a genius, and yeah. he was an ex-Boeing artist. He did a lot of the Boeing artwork for the planes and stuff coming out of Southern California here.
Yeah, you know, I could see that because you think of all those. Well, I think like specifically like Disneyland and all the classic attraction posters, especially for Tomorrowland. Those are very, very much McQuarrie-esque in their style, you know.
Yeah, that Jet Age, Space Age look, Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, those are super cool. I love those. As you're walking into the park, you go into those bridges, and their walls are lined with those sort of like Jet Age, 60s-esque.
That's awesome. That's great.
Those are really cool.
I'm gonna have to pick this up. Yeah, that was one of the great benefits about Disneyland back then, was that the entire Tomorrowland looked like those posters, and kind of missed that.
And Dave, I'm not judging you at all. I don't want you to think that. I mean, you're talking to a guy who owns like 17 copies of the original film in different versions. It, you know, if something has a Star Wars sticker on it, I tend to buy it. So. It seems like a very good investment. It looks beautiful, and I can't wait to see it.
You're welcome to come over anytime and check it out.
Excellent. Excellent.
Can I come over and soil it for you?
Oh, I'm soiling it already, but thank you.
Good God.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
You do not want those expensive pages sticking together. Keep Scott away from your book. That's all I'm saying. So we have some news stories from Rogue One, including big news. We have a change in the composer, Alexander Desplat, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right. Desplat. He looks French. I don't know. Does anyone know how to pronounce Alexandre Desplat?
I think it's pronounced Steve Baldwin.
Well, whatever, but either way, he was originally slated to compose the movie, the music for the new, for Rogue One. And then, as Hollywood Reporter so eloquently puts, and then the reshots happened. And so this change has been made to replace Alexander Desplat with Michael Giacchino, who's done a lot of films, including the Star Trek movies, the reboots, Pixar movies, The Incredibles, Inside Out. Very accomplished composer. But to change composers, and this just happened just about, about 2 weeks ago, September 15th. So right around, right before we released the last show, this took place. So curious to know what you guys think about this, we're 80 days away from the film, 76 days away, and they bring in a new composer. What do you think? What does it mean? And is this film in trouble?
Chaos, strife, doom, destruction. It's all going to hell. I'm boycotting this movie now.
Somehow I doubt that.
Worst score ever. I mean, it's not doom and destruction or anything like that, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's a little concerning to me, as close as it is to the release date. If you look at John Williams, who has commented, like, I expect to see a rough cut of Star Wars 8, you know, any day now so I can start working on the music for it. Yeah. And then you contrast that with, oh, it's Rogue One. We're switching our music composer out, you know, 90 days before it goes live. That, not an expert. It just seems a little concerning to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your concern. But what I'm going to go with is the fact that they didn't have John Williams originally. They're basing it off of his original score, and most likely the composer, who the friend that I believe John Williams used to do, that he would get the film late in the game, do his basic layout of the structure of the music, and then just kind of go from there. It seems like they laid that track down pretty early. They probably got what they wanted. They did the reshoots, and the guy just wasn't available. So. Hmm. They pull in somebody who's going to fill in and fill in some of the music, and then they're done. So I'm not too worried about it. The music I'm not concerned about. I know we should, because we all love Star Wars music, but it was clear from the beginning that John Williams is not being brought in on these, so we're good. I'm solid.
Mm. You know, it's funny, because it's never really news when a composer is replaced, but I guess since it's Star Wars, there's got to be some kind of write-up about it, and it's got to be a big deal. But, you know, the guy they brought in let me back up a little bit. I think, you know, what Scott's saying is correct. You know, they had him lay down an initial score, and they got a feel for what he's going to be putting up for it, and then they come around, and instead of making him clear a schedule or making it available to him. They just brought in an in-house guy because the guy that they brought on has done virtually all of the Pixar movies, or most of them, at least the recent ones anyway, and worked on a lot of the major, not necessarily successful, but major live-action Disney films. He did John Carter, he did Tomorrowland, which were huge investments for Disney, even though they didn't quite pan out the way they wanted them to. So yeah, he's an in-house guy, and they seem to like having him around. They keep giving him work, so they figure he'll do a serviceable job. I think the movie will be fine. This is the least of the concern, because anything that ends up being in this score-wise is going to sound like low-rent John Williams anyway.
It is, and I'm going to add on that. There was a great multimedia crossover event that happened in the 90s when they were really trying to branch out Star Wars, kind of like what we're seeing now with Disney, but Disney just has a better scope of it. Lucasfilm was trying to get into the whole multimedia thing, and they put forth this whole effort to create comics, books, video games based off of an idea called Shadows of the Empire. And they hired another composer to come in and actually do a score for a video game, book, comic book crossover event that had nothing to do with the films. And his name was Joel McNeely, I believe, and did a fantastic job. And here, he was just a hired-for-rent type guy who came in and did an outstanding job built off of John Williams' score. He was hired last minute to add some just that feeling, that nostalgic feeling of the music that we've all grown up with and loved. And he did, seriously, a fantastic job. If you guys ever find the soundtrack, go seek it out and pick it up. It's an amazing piece of work for a guy who probably just came in and said, I'm never going to be like John Williams, but I'm going to add whatever I can. And he did a damn good job. So I kind of feel the same way about this guy and the one that they brought in. So,
well, you know, I agree with all of you. I don't think that the film is in tremendous trouble, but I will say that, you know, more than any other film, except for maybe another John Williams scored series, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones series, I mean, this music is so representative of the film. It's in many ways, it's, you know, you could argue that it's like the soul of Star Wars. I mean, if you know, even JJ quipped, you know, we played the clip a couple months ago where he says, you know, we were filming the opening scene and I was concerned about it, and John just turned to me and like looked at me like, I got this, don't worry about it, I'll fix this for you, you know. So there's a lot of that in Star Wars where the music just carries it. And even in the opening sequence of Episode 4, which is arguably the most famous scene in Star Wars and maybe even in cinema history, you could argue that.
Yes.
That sequence is diminished so much without the music. A change this late in the game, even if he is a friend of Disney and obviously a friend of JJ having done the Star Trek reboots, I'm a little concerned about this. I want it to sound like Star Wars as much as it looks like Star Wars.
Well, Steve, I'm going to jump in on this. Your concern is validated. I'm not arguing it, certainly, but I will say this. Yes, everything you just said is absolutely true. But we're in unprecedented territory right now. We're in a moment where these are not the trilogy films. This is not a continuation of the trilogy. Although it fits in to the timeline, this is something we've never had to deal with in this scope in Star Wars before. So it's new. It's new territory. And I'm excited to hear not only the original score that was laid down for this film, I want to see, I'm actually now curious to find out what was added because of these extra scenes or reshoots and whatnot. But I want to add something else to that. Another case where you're talking about John Williams, we all know and love John Williams scores. I mean, we can sit here and ramble off 15, 20 of them tops or just instantly. And if not, we can go into his 75, 100 soundtracks that he's done over the last 45, 55 years. I mean, it's insane what this guy has done. But You look at some great franchises he's been associated with. You talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark. We are obviously talking about Star Wars. You can go into E.T., Jaws. You can talk about Jurassic Park. These are all incredible franchises. But he also did some where he didn't continue on through the franchise. And I think Jurassic Park is one of them. But another very famous franchise that John Williams is famous for is Harry Potter. He did the first two scores, I believe, and then after that, it was another guy who took over. I can't remember who did it now, but somebody who filled in for him and did an excellent job continuing that theme, the feel of the Harry Potter films. I'm not that worried, but I do feel your concern on it. I do.
Yeah, well, nobody has done a Star Wars film other than John Williams, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about this.
Yeah. No, a good point. It's a very good point. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break here, guys, and we need to acknowledge our sponsor for this week's show before we get too much further, Audible.com.
Hold on. Let me go get my tissue. Hang on.
Wow.
Wow. All right. You're going to go there again, huh?
Is it going to be another good one? Am I going to like it?
Oh, yeah. You're going to like it. Audible.com. Okay. And actually, for listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, and only for our loyal listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial so you can check it out. It's a great service, and we think you're going to love it. And several of the Hive have our own accounts. We use audible.com, so it's not like we're trying to push something on you that we don't believe in. We really do think Audible is a great service, and there are over 250 Star Wars titles available, including this one. And I selected an interesting one this week, guys, and it's funny that you brought up the radio dramas earlier. I think that was Greg. This one is the original Star Wars radio dramas. This is written by George Lucas and Brian Daley, narrated by several stars of the movie, including Mark Hamill and Anthony Daniels, Sir Anthony Daniels. And I've got a sample here. This is just the beginning of the first book, so it's actually a scene that was not included in the theatrical release of the film, but it's a cut scene, and I think you guys are going to get a kick out of this, so... Star Wars, the radio dramas, the original radio dramas, written by George Lucas. Check this out. And that's it. No, just kidding. Here we go.
Hey, Fixer. Fixer.
What?
Skywalker's here.
So what? Don't bother me with small fry. Where's the juice? I'm thirsty.
Here, catch one.
Hey, everybody.
Where's the party?
Wherever I am, Luke. Right, Cammy?
Correct, lover.
Hey, boys. Guess what Skywalker was doing?
Hey.
Sitting in the tech dome playing an academy recruitment tape.
Not.
You never change, Skywalker. Is that all you want out of life? To parade around in a fancy uniform?
So what do you want that's so much better, Fixer?
Yeah, you watch it, boy. Just because you got lucky on a couple of crummy tests, that doesn't make you some kind of junior space explorer.
I never said I was any
You know what I did back when they made me take those exams?
What?
I walked in, filled out my name, and walked out again.
Right.
I showed him.
Yeah. Yeah, just because he can answer fancy trick questions and do school book flight maneuvers, he thinks it makes him better than us.
Yeah, Luke. Mm-hmm. So you happen to qualify. So what? What do you think you are, Biggs or something?
So little did we know that Horshack from Welcome Back, Cotter was involved in the Star Wars radio dramas, but nevertheless, you can enjoy your free download by going to the following website. That's audibletrial.com/hive. Okay, audibletrial.com/HIVE to sign up and claim your free audiobook download. So go check it out.
I have to say that sequence was great. We all know that's the cut sequence where Luke goes into Tosche Station and sees Biggs and a bunch of his friends hanging out. The people doing the voices in there are quite funny. I love the Horshack reference, but also it totally feels like Lucas dialogue from American Graffiti.
Well, I was going to say it kind of reminds me of the scene in Back to the Future where Marty McFly is getting bullied in the diner by Biff and his thugs. I was just waiting for someone to say, "Dork's wearing a life preserver. Thinks he's going to drown on land."
Nice. Nice. Well played.
Good Lord. So, there's like Jawas attacking Scott or something like that.
What is going on over there?
Scott just got attacked by Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah, Jawas came out of nowhere, man. It was crazy. All right.
That or it's Church from Pet Sematary. One of the two. I'm not sure which.
I should have called that cat Church. Damn it.
That book was one of the very first books that I ever actually really scared me that I had to put down and like go to a well-lit room and take a breather. That Pet Sematary, oh, so good.
Oh, mine was my first scary book was Courtship of Princess Leia.
I was going to say about nice. The Pet Sematary, the movie was the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. What's the name of the kid?
Gage,
yes, that gets hit by the 18-wheeler. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
Spoiler.
Sorry. For a book that's 3 years old.
Great stuff.
That's a 25-year-old spoiler right there, my friend. Why did you do that?
Well, guys. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Dave. Was there another comment? I'm sorry. I cut you guys off.
Nope.
All right. Nope. All right. Move along.
Rosebud was a sled. Rosebud was a sled.
Move along. All right. Couple other news pieces. Carryover from previous shows, guys. We've got the Scum and Villainy pop-up cantina.
I have not checked. Is that still a thing? I haven't checked this out.
I check it every week, and I'm not sure if we reported on it last week, but they are still no changes. Reservations coming soon is all the website says. But I checked out their Facebook page today. They have 15,824 likes on their Facebook page. The thing hasn't even opened, and there's 15,000 likes on that page already.
Yeah, we're screwed. We're not getting in.
I hope they thank us for all the publicity and likes that we have clearly gotten them.
Yeah.
Right? Traffic. You know, if you want a good read, though, if you really want a good read, go down that Facebook page and look at all of the vitriol and anger that's coming out of people that they haven't announced what their days are they're going to be open yet. Because, oh my God, there are some really angry people there.
Wait, I am you're shocked. Telling me there are really angry people on the internet?
Yeah, I am shocked at that suggestion, sir.
It's crazy, I know. And all yet, right. Here we are.
Well, their Facebook post from August 25th is the most recent. So we're talking, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. It says, "Thank you very much for your interest in the Scum and Villainy Cantina. We are greatly appreciative of your immediate and positive support for this exciting venture. And we will post information in the very near future regarding a wide array of opportunities for reservations, participation, employment, media coverage, and much, much more. Please visit frequently as we will update the Facebook page as news becomes available. And please tell your friends." The comments below are fairly entertaining. You can go about your business. Move along. What a piece of junk. And there's one that says basically they're more likely to be hit with a cease and desist than to open up this venture. So we shall see. I am very interested in this. It seems like a lot of fun, and I would definitely be down to make a visit to this place and record a show for sure.
Yeah, I will patiently wait. If it does not open, it's really no sweat off my nuts, so I don't really care. But if it does open, I think it would be totally fun.
And nary do we go without a mention of the sweat on Greg's nuts.
No.
I was going to go down the road where my favorite comment you read, but there is the one where it just says, it's a trap.
Oh, man, that's low-hanging fruit if I've ever seen it. No doubt about it.
Along with the sweat on my nuts.
Wow.
Right.
That is not low-hanging right there.
Greg's nuts are practically the sixth and seventh members of the Wretched Hive.
The low-hanging fruit of his loins, what you're saying. Well, we got another story here, guys. You know there's a connection between Freddy Krueger and Star Wars, right? Of course.
What?
Yeah. Really fun little story on the Force.net, which happens to be my homepage when I bring up my browser. You know, some people go to MSNBC or CNN. I go to the Force.net.
And you don't want to see what comes up on my browser.
My nuts.
Sweatyballs.com.
I'm sorry. Those are sweaty balls.
Are those Pete's?
Great story called titled "How Freddy Krueger Influenced Star Wars."
I love how Steve has just kind of soldiered through this whole thing.
Sometimes you just have to press through, Dave.
We don't give Steve enough credit. We really need to because.
Well, I was just going to say I think Steve deserves a lot of credit for keeping his eye on the ball through all this.
Oh man!
You guys are driving me nuts. It's fine.
So,
you know, it's hard hosting the show because there's always a lot of balls in the air, and I've got a lot to juggle here.
There's a lot to juggle.
My favorite part is the pause in between as we all think of the next line. It's the best part.
It's uncomfortable, actually, but no, please continue with Freddy Krueger.
Well, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I don't want you to pinch anything here.
No, let's get back to the intercourse, Steve. What's going on with Freddy Krueger?
These balls are bouncing all over the place tonight. I think Scott just fell over on his chair, actually.
I did. Damn Jawa cat came back. I don't know what's going on.
So Freddy Krueger and Star Wars. The Force.net had a great article,
sure.
How Freddy Krueger Influenced Star Wars. And it's a neat little interview piece with... I'll just read the first couple of paragraphs here. At the time of the filming of Star Wars, at the time, Mark Hamill was always on my couch, Robert Englund remembers. Of course, the star of Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, and many other horror films. He was a TV star. He was filming a TV series across the street. I think it was called The Texas Wheelers with Gary Busey. So he was always at my place, and I always knew that he was home because his cowboy boots were out in front. He always left his boots outside. So there he was, halfway through a six-pack, watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I went in and said to him, look at these sides. I think you're right for this man. This character is a space prince, and it's George Lucas. So essentially, Robert Englund is saying, I talked Mark Hamill into doing Star Wars. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Imagine some world, though, where just you got Freddy Krueger and Luke Skywalker hanging out on a couch.
I know.
So weird. Do you know how much weed was smoked in that place, probably?
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
No doubt about it.
I'm trying to look up Robert Englund's IMDb stuff, and the credits go back to 1974, Buster and Billy, and then in 1975 he was in Sunburst and Hustle, and if Star Wars was in production in 76, like there's not a lot of other stuff he could have been doing at the time Mark Hamill was hanging out.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear these interviews where, you know, like Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford driving together to the set, you know, and they're just a couple of unknowns and just trying to make their way, and they're rehearsing lines together. I mean, it's just so interesting to think about those two driving through Hollywood to a soundstage to do voiceover work, or, you know, through London to get to the studio to record their scenes. And, you know, like, either one of them drives a car now. Well, I would guess Mark Hamill. Well, they probably both do. They're probably... They're a couple of men's men, for sure. But it's just interesting to think of them driving around in, like, a, you know, like a 74 Ford Pinto. driving to the set.
Harrison Ford these days, I mean, flies his own helicopters. He tries to fly planes, too, but that doesn't always work out. But helicopters, yeah, for sure.
And we all know Mark Hamill drives a 1979 Corvette. Okay, that's just a given. Just, right?
Doesn't drive it well all the time.
Can I tell you that I unironically love that movie? I really think that is an underrated movie.
Corvette, it's really, Summer? It's a great movie. Are you kidding me?
It's really cheesy and really late 70s, but it is such a fun movie.
It is.
Yeah.
Better. Okay, choice. Watch that or Purple Rain?
I would probably go with Purple Rain over Corvette Summer. I love Purple Rain a lot, too.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
All right, Purple Rain or Corvette Summer?
Stop giving me choices, all right? Just stop giving me choices.
I just want to know how you came up with Purple Rain on top of all of that. What? Little red Corvette.
There you go, Greg.
Because I know Mr. Lent has a very, very special place in his heart for that movie.
I thought you were making the connection with Little Red Corvette. I mean, that's...
Nice.
That was a happy coincidence, but I know Greg has a certain fondness for Purple Rain.
Yeah, this is not a lie. Dave and I have sat up for hours discussing the merits of Prince and his music. So, yes. it is something that has come up in long conversation.
Well, now there's a difference between Prince and his music, Prince and an actor, and Star Wars. This is something we need to have at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Nah, it's all tangentially related, man, on the Wretched Hive. Come on. if anyone can draw those comparisons and connections, it's us.
I'm just impressed Steve can pull these sound cues off of the spontaneous, you know, whatever's going on around him.
I do.
He's learning as he goes, guys. He's becoming the Uber podcast master.
I am the one.
Ooh, nice.
All right, we've got a couple of other stories here to wrap this up, folks. And one is actually really fun. There's this Twitter account that popped up, and no, it's not Very Lonely Luke. We'll get to that. Calm down. Slow down. Give me a second. This is
going through my notes.
This is Things Never Said in Star Wars. Ooh. This was an article actually on EW.com by Will Robinson. And this is there's some really fun ones here. So this is Anthony Bresnikan of EW.com tweeting, in lieu of flowers, Greedo's wife and children have set up a GoFundMe page to meet expenses at this difficult time. # things never said in Star Wars.
That's great.
Things never said in Star Wars. Okay, troopers, now let's get information. Let's see.
That's good.
Oh, here's another one. This one's good. Live long and prosper.
Oh.
Ouch.
Things never said in Star Wars. This one posted on Twitter by Sarah Teske. I like big buns, and I cannot lie. You other Jedi can't deny. Things never said in Star Wars. And let's see. There's a few other ones here.
The last one's good there. Page you're looking at.
Oh, yes. Things never said in Star Wars. This was your father's lightsaber. He murdered 30 kids with it. There you go.
Truth hurts. You know, there is the infamous, it's actually a somewhat serious one, of Vader, and I'm going to mess it up now because it's a math question, but Vader and his, you know, where he says, I am your father, Luke, you know, whatever. People constantly misquote that as something that he didn't say. And I thought that's what this site was going to be, but this is actually funnier than that. So,
yeah, everybody says thinks it's Luke, I am your father, right? But the actual line is,
yeah,
is no, I am your father. Right.
Yeah. He never throws the Luke in there, and everybody constantly puts that in, and that's actually never said. So
yeah.
Weak fans don't understand.
Weak sauce.
Hey.
You guys all suck, man.
That's what
you guys.
I.
Oh yeah, because we quote every line correctly. I'll tell you that for sure.
Made up movie quotes in the public consciousness, like that's not just limited to Star Wars. I mean,
play
it again, Sam. That's something that people say all the time. That line is not in Casablanca.
That is correct.
Never shows up.
Is that right? No kidding.
Wow, yeah, he just says play it, Sam. He doesn't say play it again, Sam. He just says play it, Sam.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a lot of misquoted movie quotes that most people have just over time assumed or have made the change in their mind, and that's how it becomes like pop culture or whatever. And it's like that's not the line. It's Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back was one of those, and it drives me crazy too.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's no, I am your father.
Yeah. Interesting.
Weak fans probably new trilogy fans.
Oh man.
Wow.
You got to go there, don't you, hater, huh? You just want to hold the hate. You just
classism right there.
You just got to hold the hate pillow for a little bit.
Throw that out there. Sorry, guys.
Well, there's a Rogue One story here that we didn't cover. I'm gonna rewind a little bit and throw some Rogue One in here. And this is one of the Rogue One actors, Rez Ahmed, commenting on how he feels Rogue One is edgier. Has an edgier feel to it than the previous films in the Star Wars franchise. Discussing the spinoff with The Wrap, Ahmed said, "This film is about complex characters and loyalties and murky pasts. The film's a little edgier with people making these huge compromises. History isn't always clear." Ahmed also said that his character is someone who has to question his loyalties as the story progresses. So it sounds like we're going to have some heroes that are conflicted, that are trying to figure out what side of the aisle they're on. And it just adds a little more intrigue to what I think is already hopefully going to be a new film if they can figure out the music.
Yeah, if they can figure out the music.
That's right.
Oh my God, they have no idea. They're like sitting around in a dark room right now going, what are we going to do?
We're just going to get the movie with the temp soundtrack.
Let's throw this in here somewhere. Let's throw this in.
So awesome. So great. Did anybody, tangentially related, Riz Ahmed, he's going to be starring in the, or one of the stars of the new Rogue One movie. Did anybody watch The Night Of on HBO?
Oh, anybody yes, that? Yes. Lisa and I just finished it last night.
I thought he was really good in the show. However, that is a show that for me personally started off excellent. One of the best pilot episodes I've ever seen in my life, and got proceeded to get stupider and stupider every episode that went on.
Did it get True Detective stupid?
Wow. Wow.
Oh. I don't know about that. It's just that you've never seen so many people make the worst possible choices they could possibly make. And I'm not talking actor-wise, because I think that's exactly what they want him to do. But this was a great idea that just failed on so many levels. The deeper this show got, I don't know. Did you have the same experience, Steve, or did you guys? Am I totally wrong on this one?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that you're right. There were really dumb decisions made, but I also think that it's so well filmed and crafted that I was able to pretty easily see past that stuff. I mean, it's just such a well done and well acted series. that I highly recommend.
Job on it, yeah.
Yeah. There's one, I think, I want to say it was the second to last or third to last. The camera work on that show and the angles and the just there's a unique a vision that went into making that show that I highly recommend. Amateur filmmakers, go check it out. I mean, it's like a school's in session with the look of that show. It's really cool. Really looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kid who's in the main kid, Riz Ahmed, is the one who's accused of murder in the show. And he's going to be in Rogue One. I don't know if you realize that or not.
Yeah, I actually did know that was him, and I think he did a fantastic job.
Good young actor. Yeah,
you kind of pity him and despise him and want the best and think he deserves to be in jail all sort of at the same time, you know. He's a bad dude, and it's a complex layered character that he plays, and if he can bring that to the Star Wars universe, I think it'll be in good shape.
What is the name of the series?
The Night of.
Yeah, who's the shoot? Who's the lawyer?
The John public defender lawyer?
Turturro. Yeah,
John Turturro.
Yeah, he's great.
I think he's the only other big name that's in there. I think actually, was there any other big name that really came up out of that? I think he was the John Turturro role was supposed to originally be played by James Gandolfini, who passed away several years ago, and so that role, or maybe he was one, I don't know, Gandolfini was supposed to be in it. I may be wrong on which role he was supposed to play, but that's why he's still listed as an executive producer on the show.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Lisa and I were wondering, whoa, what was this film so long ago that they...
It's been in development that long, because, yeah, he was originally supposed to be one of the stars. He may have been the other gruff attorney, the police detective. He may have been, that may have been his role, actually. I'm not 100% sure of that.
He's like Tupac. He still has work coming out.
Exactly. Posthumously.
Nice. Yeah, definitely worth a watch. I think Dave and Scott's show that you guys would both like. And Nico, I think you guys should all check it out.
Yeah, I badmouthed it a little bit, but like I say, it starts off so good. It really does. It's so good. Just don't expect much after that.
So it's a little bit like Return of the Jedi, is what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
All right.
It's a little bit like the original trilogy as a whole. Starts off great, slides downhill from there.
I'm gonna say, if it ends up with a bunch of Ewoks, I am not watching it.
They're all just complete pussies by the end.
I'll have to check it out. The only thing I've been hooked on lately is Stranger Things, and the book is that I've been reading is Ready Player One. So I'll have I need new stuff to check out. Hmm.
Sounds like you have a lot of shows in the sack that you need to watch there, Scott.
A lot in the sack. A lot of sack time. That's what I have.
It's the very lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
What do you got for us this week, Greg?
This week, my friend, this week we've got Lonely Luke. He's on that island, and he's just thinking and contemplating about the future and what's going to happen, because he knows one day he's going to have to get off that island, and he starts with this from September the 23rd. I hope I don't become a Force ghost. I would spend an eternity with my dad, and I am so done hearing about pod racing.
Oh.
Oh, Luke.
He's kind of bitter, that very lonely Luke. Kind of negative.
That's what happens. You spend a lot of time in your own head. This is what happens to you, man. That's why I cherish the time we get to spend together. Otherwise, I think I would be my own little very lonely Greg over here.
Speaking of very lonely, what happened to Nico? I haven't heard him in a while. Is he still with us?
He was having some internet issues.
Ah.
the gods of the internet have rained down on him and deemed him unworthy, so he dropped off a little while ago.
He needs some new power converters from Tosche Station.
Got it. Got it. Had to catch the bus to Tosche, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a long ride out there.
All right, guys. One last story that we'll wrap up tonight. Adam Driver talking about Star Wars Episode 8. Guys, we really haven't talked much about Episode 8, and I think this is going to really heat up after Rogue One. Right now, Rogue One is the star of the Star Wars universe, and after December, I think we're going to hear more about Episode 8. But Adam Driver opened up to, I'm looking at Collider.com, and this story, lots of great quotes from Adam Driver. And there's just one that I think is really interesting. About halfway down this article, the interviewer asks him, you know, how was the script? And Driver says, it's great. It's similar to how The Empire Strikes Back has a different tone. For that, people always go, ooh, it's dark. But I don't know that it necessarily is. It's just different in tone in a way that I think is great and necessary, but also very clear. He trusts that his audience is ready for nuance and ambiguity. He's not dumbing anything down for someone. And that's really fun to play. So already, this is the first comparison I've seen from someone involved with the movie, anyway, to The Empire Strikes Back. And I thought it was a little bit striking because there's been so many comparisons made with The Force Awakens and A New Hope. And for good reasons, as we've discussed on this show, including the Death Star 3. But I just thought it was interesting that here we go. Can we expect a snow battle in the middle of day to start off this movie? I mean, what do you guys think about this? We already have a major character in the film comparing Episode 8 to The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, didn't Anthony Daniels compare The Force Awakens to Empire Strikes Back before it came out? Am I misremembering that?
I'm just saying, if I'm right, and we're recording this late, so I could be wrong, but if I'm right, is comparing it to Empire just kind of a go-to thing for the cast to send a sign of, we like it, it's good, we think you'll like it too? Because I defy you to show me a Star Wars fan that did not like Empire Strikes Back.
Right. That's a good point. Actually,
that's a very good point, and that has kind of got to be the go-to comparison. Is we're going to be the next Empire Strikes Back, because you know, and I think all of us have agreed, you know, just depending on what day you catch us on, whether we like Star Wars or Empire better, I think that's consensus the best among Star Wars fan. I think that's probably consensus best pick out of all seven movies up to this point.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and actually, Steve, you're going to hate this even more. Anthony Daniels did not compare it. He actually stated that Star Wars 7 is better than The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, that's the quote I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Are you serious? This is the first I've heard this.
You've
got to be kidding me.
November 4th, 2014 on CNN.com.
God.
As if you needed another reason to hate C-3PO.
All right, what's the quote? Do you have the quote there?
God. Yeah, he actually says, The Force Awakens is better than The Empire Strikes Back. I have to force myself. Oh, wait, I got to expand this. No, it's a bunch of CNN talk. Sorry.
Let me finish that. He says, I have to force myself to spit out this drivel because there's no way on earth anybody would possibly believe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what he said, right?
Yep.
I just made that up. You know that.
Yeah,
I don't think Scott's listening to me anymore.
I actually thought you were reading it. That's pretty good.
No. I'm shutting Greg out. I know
that sounds like something that Anthony Daniels would say, actually.
He went on to say that I have tremendous sweaty balls and that I like to fondle them and run them between my fingers. My balls, that is.
Wait, was he talking about your balls or his balls when he said my balls?
Are we reading the same article? Because that's
all of the above.
Wow.
It's people at home might not believe this, but we don't necessarily record this thing without alcohol.
No. And the clock on my computer says 11:34, and my glass of wine is empty. So,
well, it only took us 5 minutes to get over the Skype issue, so we got a head start on the drinking.
Sir Anthony Daniels, I would have to disagree with that quote. I want to find that one for next time. We gotta dig into that one a little bit. I really wanna get the full quote there and make sure we're not taking it out of context, because boy, that's pretty strong. It's pretty strong words from Anthony there.
I'm trying to dig it up here. It's on CNN.com, and there's a huge article that goes along with it, so I have to dig into it. But yeah, he does state that. Shoot, thought I had it. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. We'll hold it. We'll save it for next time.
Because, you know, we don't have enough Anthony Daniel hate on this podcast, so.
Right. Maybe we should do a ridiculous, stupid quote from Anthony Daniels of the week.
I will comment before you hit the music, Steve. I will comment a little bit on Adam Driver's comments on episode 8. I think it is going to be a different tone, and this is where I am excited with how the new creative team, Kathleen Kennedy and her team, have really taken on. And I think we've actually touched on this in the past, but I like how they've taken on this. You know, we're going to not give it to one person and have them run the whole show. We're going to get three very different creative minds to help us shape the next generation of the Star Wars universe. And they've got J.J. Abrams, who's kind of, you know, the golden boy. He's the virtual love child of Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. And he gave us a very Lucasian, Spielbergian opening up. And I am really excited about Rian Johnson for the second movie here, for episode 8. I thought Looper is a fantastic, you know, hard sci-fi movie. The movie Brick, also really good. I haven't seen The Brothers Bloom, but I've heard good things about that. So I think he's a great, great choice for the second one. And yes, I think it's going to be very different because he's got a very different style. So I, for one, am excited about it. I think I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Well, Adam Driver had some really nice things to say about Rian Johnson. He says, Rian is coming into something that we kind of set up, and he just took it to the next level in a really great way. He wrote it, too, and Rian's writing is so clear. I learned a lot of things about my character through his writing. Some things we talked about before and some things we didn't. He was working on the script while we were still working on the first one. So he has some really nice things to say and clearly holds Rian Johnson in very high regard. And so, Adam Driver, who is you know, arguably one of the major stars of this franchise moving forward. So I think that bodes really well as we
I think so too.
To episode 8.
Yes.
Yep.
My balls are in. Hey.
So many choices. My God. Well, guys, this has been another fun show. Episode 20 is in the books for the Wretched Hive podcast. And we hope that you will reach out to us. Leave us a voicemail. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Of course, you can find us on Facebook. A lot of fun stuff being posted there. Facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. We've been using Twitter more. Guys, I went on a little Twitter explosion there for a little while. It's fun. I'm finding Twitter a lot of fun with this with the show. And find us on Twitter at WretchHivePod. That's WRETCHHIVEPOD.
H-I-V-E-P-O-D.
You can also find us on iTunes. Wow. Maybe iTunes is a great way to plug into the show. We would love your review. We actually, if you feel like doing us a favor, we really could use your review. That helps us on iTunes. Go to iTunes podcast section and search for The Wretched Hive. We're the first one to come up, and leave us a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any star. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, the fans of The Wretched Hive podcast.
Come on, people. We know you're out there. Leave some reviews.
And guys, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Got lots of fun stuff happening in Star Wars universe. I'm going to go shopping here in a few minutes. No doubt about it.
I'm going to have a ball load of Star Wars toys come 2 weeks from now.
Guys, final thoughts on episode 20.
Already? We haven't had episode 8 yet. What do you mean episode 20?
Hey, this was ball-tastic.
I can't top that.
That's what she said. Guys, have a great couple of weeks, and may the Force be with us all.
Let's be with you.